It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? If you'll please open your Bibles to John chapter 12, we'll begin the study today. We're going to begin reading with verse 12, and we're going to read from verse 12 through verse 26, John chapter 12, beginning to read with verse 12. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the Word of God. Now, if you're prepared, we'll begin reading John chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And the people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, and of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's begin with a word of prayer after the reading today. Father, I thank you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Praise you for your word. Help us to understand so clearly that we must be partakers of your death in order to have salvation. Please that you show us clearly today the way of salvation. Show us also the way of life after we have come by faith to you and trusted in you for our salvation. So please, Lord, today make it ever so clear, as it should be each and every time. Use my voice and the words that you have given me to be your words, Lord, that it'll be so clear that it won't be my understanding and my opinion, but it will be your word, the word of God. Please now speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've studied from the 12th verse and found ourselves down to verse 18, and we talked about the groups of people last time we were together that were coming, and as we find the visitors out of town, we find the religious leaders, rulers, and we also find the folks that just live around there that experienced the raising of Lazarus from the grave. Others knew firsthand of it because they lived right there. So that's the group of people that come, and they laid their branches of palm trees down, went before him and crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." Hosanna again is to save me, or oh save, and that's what they wanted. They wanted salvation. The sad thing is today we want comfort and protection from our government to protect us, to care for us in every way, and we'll seem to put most anybody in office that agrees to do that instead of caring for ourselves and being responsible for ourselves. We want someone else to take care of it. They found here, they thought, and they knew by prophecy that a king was coming. And so here is the king. Now he will save us from Roman rule. the problem is that they need saving from their sin. As today, we need saving from our sin. We don't need comfort and care from our government. We need salvation through Jesus Christ. Please, that you do not trust on anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ for your salvation. Please come to Jesus today. As we study this, listen to those words that I've just said. We find now that as we've come down, the fulfillment of prophecy concerning the way he would enter into Jerusalem, and we have a group of people here that are not praising him, and that we find in verse 19. Verse 19 says, "And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." There are certain that they hated the Lord Jesus without a question. The Pharisees, what are we going to do? Jesus is coming. Jesus is finally entering into town publicly. Before, he was in Jerusalem and then he would be gone. He was in other areas of the region. But never did he come publicly as he is right now in this scripture that we're seeing and we're reading. The Pharisees, now what are we going to do? Before we could, they attempted to put him to death and put him away, but they always had trouble because of all the people, if you'll remember right. The people were following him, were trusting in him, were believing in him, and they couldn't force their decision and opinion because they were there were such a crowd in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come and look at today's way, we find that it seems to be the other way. That devil's crowd, the one that promotes all the things of this life and this world, they're the ones that are getting their thoughts and opinions forced through. And we're finding ourselves as a minority, those that believe that to preach Jesus Christ and Jesus alone for salvation, clearly explain that abortion is wrong. We have so many things in this society today that's been accepted that is so ungodly and set apart and away from the Word of God, and we're becoming a small minority. Face each and every day, it seems as though there's something else that has come forth that has become law that is opposing to the Word of God. Please, Christian, awaken and be prepared to do battle, because we need to understand the Word of God is the perfect and accurate authority. Please be awake. First come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then begin to move in the direction and stand for what the Word of God tells us and stands for. These Pharisees here, they were standing for the world, even though they were religious leaders. And see, so don't trust the religious leaders. Trust the Word of God. If the preacher is preaching the Word of God, then you're fine. But if he is preaching something contrary, which so many do, then you can be led astray. These Pharisees were trying to gather a group together, and it seemed like they were losing the battle because so many were following after the Lord Jesus. And here comes Jesus into Jerusalem, and here's all these folks that are coming and joining to the Lord Jesus. What are we going to do? And the Pharisees begin to plot and to plan that we have to kill him because he is going to take over. He is going to be king if we're not careful, because the people will place him there. They keep growing in number. What are we going to do? That's the concern the Pharisees had. So, of course, the only thing they could do is to put him to death, not realizing that is the very plan that God has, is that he would come and he would force these people, these religious leaders, he would force them into crucifying him. It's Jesus' time. No one puts a hand upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No one could touch, say anything, or do anything without his permission. This time he is coming into Jerusalem. His time, as we know, the Word of God tells us, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. the purpose that Jesus came to earth is about to be fulfilled, and that is to go to the cross of Calvary, die upon that cross, be laid in the grave for 3 days, and then come out of that grave victorious, life, being resurrected from the dead. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and for your life. These Pharisees did not. They were looking to put him to death because they wanted it out of the road. They were tired of him. They had desired. He had been a thorn in their flesh for a long time, and it was getting worse. And so it's time that thorn that had been in their flesh is becoming infected, and they're going to have to take care of it, because that infection is growing more rapidly, and the Pharisees are losing power, losing control, and they don't like that, and so they are going to go after the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that taking place in verse 19, and now we find in verse 20, this is as he enters Jerusalem, 19, as he enters into Jerusalem for the purpose to be crucified, and they're going to play their part in it because of their evil and wicked ways. Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip. As we look at the scripture verses here, and let me go ahead and finish reading, they desired to see the Lord Jesus. The end of verse 21, Philip comes and tells Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip go to tell the Lord Jesus that you have company here, you have folks here that want to see you, folks that are Greek. Now, probably the Lord Jesus at this time is in the temple. We are not told here where the Lord Jesus, where the Greeks find the Lord Jesus, or where they come to inquire of Philip and Andrew that they would like to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they come, and I believe that they're probably in the temple where the Greeks come to worship. The Greeks come, these Greeks, I believe, have come to the feast, and I think they've come in the past. I think they've come for years to the feast of the Passover. They are attending the Jewish synagogue. They're attending the Jewish feasts because they desire to know the true God. And at this time, the only way to know the true God is to attach yourself with the synagogue or with the temple, that they would come and know the true God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. And so they wanted to know the true God. And here they find themselves at the temple in Jerusalem, and they understand that Jesus is present, and they have asked for a meeting with him. The reason I think that they were at the temple, if you would turn to me with me to Mark, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11, verses 7 through 18. Matthew, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Mark, chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 7. And I'm going to read now much of the entry into Jerusalem so that you'll understand it is the same time. Mark chapter 11, verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before him and they that followed cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. He came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs were not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of this hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. I wanted to read that out of John, out of Mark chapter 11, to show you that the Gospels of the very same event as the Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem. John did not record that he went into the temple. Mark records that he went into the temple twice. He came the very first day when he entered into Jerusalem, and the crowds were there, and then in the evening he left and went to Bethany. Then he returned to Jerusalem a second time, back into the temple. This time, first time, he kind of looked things over, and then the second time when he entered, he came and cleared out all the money changers. Now, you'll find this taking place another time, and that is at the beginning of his ministry. In John chapter 2, verse 15, he came into the temple, and he cleansed the temple then. He threw out the money changers, and again, he tells us, "My house, as it is written," see, he quotes his own word, as the word of God was recorded in the Old Testament, "My house is to shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Now notice that when he is speaking, and I believe that he's not only speaking to his disciples, with his disciples, but also with these Greeks. I think when he proclaimed to them as he was in the temple, I think they were either able to hear, they were close enough by, or by that time they had joined each other. And he made it clear, not just "I have told my people, the nation of Israel, I have called all nations that this is a house of prayer." So he included the Greeks in that this is a house of prayer. Now, did they... had they made connections yet? Had Andrew and Philip come to Jesus and said, "These Greeks want to see you," prior to Jesus doing this? Or was it following this event that Jesus had cleansed the temple and they liked what they saw, because they were coming wanting to know the true God, not proselytes? They had not joined the Jewish religion at this time, I don't believe. I think they were coming because this is where you meet the true God. And they found something in Jesus that was real and that was true. And he began once again to quote the word of God and said, "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." We need to be careful that our buildings that we come into, where we come and sing praises to the Lord and glorify the Lord, that we don't allow it to become a den of thieves. John, and let's go back just a little bit to see what was going on in John at the first time that he did the same thing as he cleansed the temple. John cleaned it out. John chapter 2, verse 15. John 2, 15. "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money, the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And then he said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." So he said, first of all, don't make it a house of merchandise. And the second time when he did it, some 2 years, 2.5 years later, the end of his ministry, 3 years later, he said it very clearly, that it is not a house of merchandise, it is a house of prayer. We have made our churches a house of merchandise. They sell things. They have you have your Lord's Acre sales, all these things, and they say we have to do that to make money for our youth groups, or make money for this, or make money for that. Have bake sales, all those things. Please, my friend, the house of God should be supported by the tithes and offerings of the people, and not any other way. And the tithes and offerings of the people should come from the believers, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that you have to have these other activities is because your house is full of unbelievers. You need that other work in order to support those programs that you have, because they are not programs that are God-Spirit-driven. And so please, that you look to the Lord Jesus and you search His way. These Greeks come to hear. They come and they wanted to know. And you know, it's so wonderful that whatever part of the time here that the Greeks asked to talk to him, whether it was the first meeting of the temple when the Lord Jesus went in just for a short time, as Mark tells us, or whether they were present when he cleaned the temple and proclaimed that this is a house of prayer and not a den of thieves, was it that time? We're not sure. But I do know that as Jesus heard that the Greeks wanted to speak to him, always Jesus will always give audience. He will always work out a time soon to speak to them. And you know, the Savior didn't just die, come to the cross of Calvary for the Jews, for Israel. We have many verses of Scripture, and you'll find them all in John. John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, not so loved Israel. He did. Israel is a special place in the heart of God. The Jews are very special to God. But he died for all the world. Just keep flipping your Bibles, your pages there, to John chapter 4, verse 42. John 4, 42. He said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Not the Savior of just Israel, but the Savior of the world. John chapter 6, verse 33. John 6:33, "Then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." That was verse 32, verse 33. "And the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world," the whole world. John chapter 8, verse 12, just one more. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," the light of the world. Each time he came, and when he came to the cross of Calvary, he came for the whole world, not just for the nation of Israel. The Greeks again come to the feast. This wasn't the first time to come because they wanted to know the true God. They wanted the Word of God. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. Isn't it so sad that the Jews, God chosen, that has a God has a special place, very special place in his heart for the Jews wanted a sign. But the Greeks, they wanted to see Jesus. You know, that wasn't a popular request at the time. It was not popular at all that they would come and to ask to see the Lord Jesus. Remember what the Pharisees wanted to do? They're seeking those to follow them to put Jesus to death. But the Greeks, they come. They wanted to know the truth, whatever the consequences. And whether they weren't aware of what was going on, or whether they were very much aware of what was going on, either way, they wanted to see Jesus. They asked for the Lord Jesus. As we look now to come, the Jesus' answer to them, and again, I believe that at this time, when he answers in verse 23, that the Greek folks that requested his this meeting, that they were present too. Jesus answered them, and I think when he says them, probably the disciples and these folks, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Why did not the Lord Jesus say, "The hour is come that the Son of God should be crucified"? He said glorified because he is going to be glorified, and he was going to glorify not only his Father but himself by being obedient to the Father. The Father sent him down. He was obedient. Jesus was obedient to come down to this earth and to live for 33 years and die on the cross of Calvary. You know, we are born to live. Yes, we're going to die, face a physical death, but Jesus was born to die. That was his purpose. He was coming to die. And 33 years after his birth, that he came to earth, took on the body of a man, born of the Virgin Mary, come upon this earth, lived for 33 years, and when he finished that ministry, finished that work, then is when we find his hour has come, that the Son of Man is going to be glorified. Because as this, any time that we're obedient unto the Father, unto his word, glory is present. We will glorify God in all that we do if we will always be obedient. Now, let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here concerning the bringing glory unto the Lord. One we'll find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3. You can find 1 and 2 Corinthians, and if you find 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll find Galatians following. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now let's go to Hebrews, and if you just continue to go to the back of your Bible, you'll find the book of Hebrews. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, then you'll find Hebrews. If that helps you, I hope it did. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, his whole purpose, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, and his resurrection all bring nothing but glory, because he is purchasing us. He is paying for us. We need to realize as we look to the Word of God that if it had not been for the Lord Jesus going to the cross of Calvary, God the Father would not have been glorified. We would have no possibility of glorifying the Lord without Jesus going to the cross. It's the reason he said, my hour has come that I might be glorified. Fulfill the Father's will. That's what we should always be desiring to do. Fulfilling the Father's will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and any time the Word of God comes so clearly as that, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We just have a couple of moments here, so we'll begin with this verse next time we come together. But let me start so that you can understand what has to come, what has to take place. This is beautiful illustrations given here. Jesus uses a seed to show and to tell us what must take place. We need to realize that there's no glory without suffering. There is no fruitful life without death. There is no victory without suffering. We look at the seed. A seed of itself is just weak and useless. But when it's planted, it dies and becomes fruitful. The only way it can achieve its goal is to be planted in the cold ground and die. Until we come to the Lord Jesus and become a part of his death, die in him, we have no life, we have no fruit. We need to look to the Lord Jesus. We need to search him. Jesus died on the cross, and we must be partakers of that death upon the cross of Calvary. And we're going to talk about the personal relationship that we have with his death, with his life, with Jesus himself. Please, that you listen very clearly. Don't miss next time we come together. We'll begin with verse 24. It's so important that you realize that you must die with Jesus Christ. He died for us that our sins will be taken away. Please, my dear friend, don't miss what Jesus has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Don't just read about him in the words, know him personally. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?